The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome to this series of podcasts from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento, California. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the pastor of the church. And I wanted to introduce this particular podcast because you are in for a real treat. This is the Easter season, 2017, and our theme for the season is called With Burning Hearts. It's a reference to that wonderful passage in Luke 24 where the disciples were on the road to Emmaus, and they had an incredible encounter with the risen Lord. One of the elders of our church, Don Bose, is also a trained actor, and he wrote a wonderful script, his own take on the perspective of the story from one of the travelers on the road to Emmaus, and put that together and has occasionally brought that to us at Epiclesis. This year was a perfect opportunity for that because of the theme for Easter and for the scripture that is highlighted on this second Sunday of Easter. So, Don gives a few introductory remarks about the monologue, and then you'll hear it just like we did on Sunday morning. By the way, there were some places during the service where we punctuated Don's monologue with some things like music that we sang together and also the Lord's table, but I have edited those out for the purpose of this podcast. You'll get the idea, though, and I hope you enjoy it. In fact, I know you will. Here now is Don Bose and The Road to Emmaus.
For all of you who may have been English majors, you may remember the poet and writer Samuel Taylor Coleridge, and he wrote The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, but he also wrote a treatise on theater, and one of the things he talked about was the willing suspension of disbelief, and that's what happens when you go into the theater. You go in, and when you see the performance and you see what's going on, you know that it's not real. It's not really happening, but you are willing to suspend your disbelief and to go into the piece and to enjoy what's happening. That's what I'm asking for you to do today. We're going to go into this story, and I'm asking you to willingly suspend your disbelief and believe that the guest you have here today is Clopas. That's my name. My name is Clopas. I'm also known as Cleopas by my Greek friends and acquaintances. Now, both my brother and I both married women named Mary. And my brother's wife, Mary, her husband was Joseph. And they had a son, and his name was Jesus. And so Jesus is my nephew. And so I've come here to tell you a story this morning. It's a chain of events that took place in all our lives right after Jesus was violently crucified on a hill known as the Place of the Skull. It's outside the gates of Jerusalem. My wife, Mary, was one of those who stayed on at the foot of the cross until Jesus breathed his last breath. She and some of the other women helped our friend from Arimathea carry Jesus' body to the tomb and prepare it for final rest. Since the Sabbath was approaching, they all went home to rest and prepare the spices and perfume. Most of us were so dismayed that we could not bear it any longer, and we went back to where we were staying in Jerusalem to lick our own personal wounds. It's hard to describe my feelings at a moment like that. I felt as if everything we had all hoped for had been dashed to pieces. Then the women came back from the tomb, and they told us a fantastic story. They said the body was no longer there. The stone had been rolled away. The two men, in clothes that gleamed like lightning, told them that Jesus had risen from the dead, just as he said he would. None of the men, of course, believed the women because it sounded like nonsense. Peter and John, they ran immediately back to the tomb to see for themselves. They told us later that the body was gone, but the burial linens were left behind. Peter said that he wandered around for hours wondering what had happened. At that point, we were all in a great quandary, not knowing what to make of all of this. There was so much confusion and sadness among the followers, and I decided I just had to get out of there. So I headed for my home in Emmaus, which was 7 miles west of Jerusalem. My son Simon went with me, and Mary stayed behind to comfort the others. On the road back home, fresh air helped to clear my mind, and soon we began to discuss the events of the past 3 days. Why, we kept asking ourselves, why was this good man, this man whom we thought to be the Messiah, put to death? Was such an incredibly burdensome question. I couldn't lift my head or strengthen my shoulders if I tried. My whole body felt depressed. I was so burdened with sadness that every step of the way felt like a shuffle into nothingness. I don't know when I have ever felt so distraught, so disconnected with my surroundings, or unwilling to accept the reality of recent events. After what seemed like an eternity in silence, I glanced past Simon and I realized that a stranger had joined us. I must tell you, there's really nothing unusual about this. People often meet along the road as they're traveling and talk to each other about events of the day, but on this day, I confess I was somewhat irritated by this stranger's presence. I just wanted to be left alone with my son, not have to deal with anyone else. I just wanted to be able to talk to Simon about our grief and our disappointment. Fortunately, this person was sensitive to the sadness in our faces, our eyes, our drooping posture. So instead of talking about something I didn't want to talk about, he posed just the right question. He said, "What are you talking about that makes you so sad?" I felt a rush of blood to my face. And once again, I was filled with anguish. To be honest, I really felt that the stranger should have known the answer to this question. How could anyone in the vicinity not know the events of the past few days that had just occurred in Jerusalem? It was as if I almost screamed my answer back at him. "We've just suffered the greatest loss of our lives. For 3 years, we've traveled throughout the country with Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet who continually did wonderful things for all the people, especially the poor and the needy. He seemed favored by God as well as man. We were sure that he would deliver us from the yoke of the Roman government. And then this week, the Jewish priest and the Roman government held a mock trial and condemned him and put him to death on a cross. And now, just today, we've heard rumors that his buried body has disappeared. My own wife's friends went to the tomb and they found that it was empty. Apparently, they were told by angels that Jesus was alive. Can you imagine that? Well, we saw him dead with our own eyes. We were there when they laid his body in the tomb. This is just impossible. It's over. Don't you see? It's over. We're sick about all this, and now we just want to go home and try to put our lives back together again. Then the stranger looked right into my eyes and said something I couldn't understand. He said, "You know, you are a really forgetful person, a person whose heart works at a very slow pace. Don't you remember the teaching of the prophets? Don't you remember that the prophets taught that the true Messiah was not someone who was to overthrow Rome and set up a political kingdom? No, the true Messiah had to first suffer and then enter into the glory of the kingdom, a kingdom that is not of this world." Well, I was amazed at these statements. To tell you the truth, I was somewhat put off. I couldn't help but think that the stranger really didn't know what was going on. But then something incredible happened. As we continued walking, he began to interpret the scriptures from Moses through all the prophets. I heard him say things that I had never heard before. I listened intently to the stranger as he went on to tell me a side of the story from the scriptures that literally made my heart burn from within. He told me in the most gentle yet authoritative voice I've ever heard that the suffering of Jesus the Messiah was for me. He said that he took on my infirmity and sorrow, that he was smitten and afflicted for me. He took on my transgression, and he was crushed for my iniquity. And when he was oppressed and afflicted, he did not open his mouth. He went to his death like a lamb to the slaughter. As he was telling me all this, my thoughts went back to that awful day, to the crucifixion. I remembered wondering why Jesus was so silent. Why didn't he cry out at the injustice? I remember wanting to cry out myself, but I was frozen in fear and amazement. I remember being tormented with the thoughts that this man doesn't deserve this. I wanted to scream, "This can't be! This man is the best thing that ever happened to Israel. Can't you see it? Can't you see it?" But I had no voice. Only this gut-wrenching feeling that everything we had hoped for, all that we had planned, was crumbling in front of me. The world was falling apart. We were still walking. Stranger looked at me and said, "I've told you the bad news. Now let me tell you the good news." Slowly and in the most profound manner, he said, "By his wounds you are healed. By his wounds you are healed." Those words pierced into my heart like a speeding arrow. I felt those words on the inside, and a healing calm swept from every part, from my heart to all my body. I looked at Simon, and I knew without question from the look on his face that he had heard that too. There were tears streaming down his face, and his eyes were lit up like I've never seen them before. I sensed this was a major turning point for us. I wanted to know more from this stranger. By this time, we were not far from home, and it was obvious to us that our companion had much further to go. It was late at night, and even though I didn't know much about this man, I sensed that he knew things about the life and death of Jesus that I didn't know, and of course, selfishly, I wanted to know more. But it seemed like a good thing to invite the stranger to stay in our home for the night. He graciously accepted. We were all quite tired and hungry. When we entered the house, we walked into the kitchen, and I went to the cupboard and I pulled out a bottle of wine and some bread and some nuts and some dried fruit. I remember thinking that this was a great way to end the day. Good food, my son and I and our new friend, eating together after a long and arduous journey. To my amazement, our guest walked over to the table and stood in my place, the place of the host. He picked up the loaf of bread, lifted it above his head, and prayed the Jewish prayer over the bread that I had prayed 1,000 times. I was struck by the passion in his manner of speaking and the authority which he spoke. I couldn't help but notice his hands as he held the bread tightly wrapped around both ends of the loaf. His hands had the appearance of being severely injured, mauled, but they were strangely beautiful and strong. And then he said these incredible words again. Remember, by his wounds you are healed. My eyes dropped to the stranger's face that was uplifted to the bread. His face was lit like the sun, and I saw angels all around. They were singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Suddenly, we knew that the man in our home was no ordinary man. This was the resurrected Jesus. At that point, my knees gave way. Simon and I both fell to the floor. And when we looked up to see Jesus, he was gone, vanished from sight. After he had gone from us, we stayed on our knees worshiping him for I don't know how long. In spite of the long journey we had just made, we both knew that there was only one thing to do at that point. We had to return to Jerusalem immediately. We had to tell all the others about it. To this day, I don't even remember the return trip. We were filled with enormous energy, and I even think we half ran most of the way. We arrived in Jerusalem just as the sun was coming up. How fitting, I thought. This is truly the start of a new day. And now we can tell the disciples and all our friends that this is truly a new beginning. We found them gathered in a second story room for prayer, as was the custom. We ran up the steps, two at a time, and burst through the door and cried, "The Lord is risen, for we have seen him in the breaking of the bread." The group was thrilled to hear our story. With great excitement, we told of everything that had happened. And when we got to the part about the breaking of the bread and how we recognized him, all of a sudden, there he was. He just appeared in our midst and held out his hands and said, "Peace be with you." In awe and reverence, and yes, in fear, we all fell down in amazement. Most of those there thought that they were seeing a ghost. But then he said gently to us, "Why are you troubled? And why do you have doubts that rise in your minds? Look at my hands and feet. It is myself. Touch and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as I have." We all did this. And then he asked us, "Do you have anything to eat?" Someone brought some broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it. Then, just as he had done to Simon and I on the road to Emmaus, he opened everyone's mind so that they could understand the scriptures. The most amazing thing he said was, "You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led us out to the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed us all, and while he was blessing us, he left us and was taken up into the heavens. We remained and worshiped together, and then we returned to Jerusalem with a great story in our heart. Our hearts were burning with passion to tell the story to anyone we came into contact with. We stayed at the temple continuously, praising God.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.